Unfair grace attracts the kind of people God wants in his kingdom. Jesus said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Okay, stop right there now. I say, God forgive me. I say it.
God forgive me.
For how I've treated my spouse. Because I have not wanted mercy.
Because I've not wanted mercy.
And I've sure wanted sacrifice. On their part. Not mine, heaven forbid. Yeah, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Stop wanting. Yeah, I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the wind going out of my sails.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the echo of the wind going out of my sails. Okay, next sentence.
Yeah, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the heart of God towards everyone, and how to make it possible is what the first Advent was all about. What he needed to do was fulfill his messianic calling by paying for all sin on the cross and being enthroned as king in his eternal kingdom, thus empowered to establish an administration of grace. To help him in this endeavor, having divorced his first wife, Israel after the flesh, today he is seeking a second bride, Israel after the Spirit, to enjoy the glories of his eternal kingdom with him. Hence, the day of salvation we are living in. This is why we church members are spoken of as ambassadors for Christ. He has solicited the help of his beloved to find others to come to the marriage feast.
Isn't that beautiful?
Though this sounds far-fetched, it is true. God has been gladly populating his kingdom ever since with ex-sinners saved by grace and turned into saints. God loves to save the undeserving and to use the imperfect. What better advertisement for grace could there be? In fact, I'll go so far as to say that its doors are shut to those who deem themselves righteous and worthy of entrance. Although he calls believers saints because of who they are in Christ, practically speaking, no one is without sin, and there are no exceptions to this rule. The flesh ever remains weak. This may be a revelation for some, but God has known it from the beginning, and grace is his solution.
Amen. It is true.
Some might express the concern that I place too much emphasis in this book on the freedom that grace affords. If this is the case, I have a reason for doing so. Too many live insecure lives as though everything was up to them.
It isn't.
Until we catch on to how safe and free we are in Christ, there's little point in going any further.
That's such a big thing. Do you know how safe and free you are? How safe and free. How safe and free. How safe and free. You know, if you believe that, Bellingham, you don't need a psychiatrist after that.
No.
You don't believe that by faith. Sometimes we wait for our feelings to believe before anything else, and your feelings can't believe. Your feelings may come afterwards, but they don't even have to be there. You believe by faith. I like what Jesus said. I was reading it just the other day. He talked to Thomas. He said, having not seen. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those having not seen who have believed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only grace, favor freely and generously given, truly reveals the compassionate heart of God that has us all covered, and it's what everyone needs. Until we understand its depths and learn to live this way, we won't get to enjoy the atmosphere this should produce in our families and churches.
Yeah.
The letter of the law will yet prevail, and rather than drawing people to Christ, we will continue chasing them off. Misunderstanding grace and living negative lives are foreign to the New Covenant message.
Have you thought about that? Yeah. Have you thought about what an incredible assignment we have to get rid of all this negativity from our homes and churches so that grace fits comfortably there and not the law?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only way to rectify the problem is by confronting it head on.
Not in my life, in your life.
What the apostles meant when they spoke of the spirit of the law by grace and not the letter, and the optimism this births, must be embraced wholeheartedly. There can be no compromise. Grace and not the law reveals the love that was poured into the cross of Calvary for us all.
And the Bible reveals what the spirit of the law was. The spirit of the law was love.
Yeah.
It states exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.